Charles Beckham from Cedar Key, Arnold Davies from Cortez, and Stuart Pacetti from St. Augustine have one thing in common. They are lifetime fishermen. They also say the fishing industry and affiliated businesses such as cast net makers are disappearing, says Charles Beckham.
Fishing is dying away. There's so many regulations, they're ruining it. But, you know, they know more than we do. They get it out of a book, and they don't get it from someone that fished for 60 years could tell them something. They blamed it on the commercial fishermen to start with, but now there's no commercial fishermen left, so they can't blame it on them now. So it's got to be the recreational level of fishing.
Regulations by U.S. Fish and Wildlife hinder rather than help the fishermen, says Stuart Pacetti, who demonstrates the Spanish cast net.
The first nets that came to the United States, we were told, came to St. Augustine when the Spanish first landed in 1565. And as time goes by, it gets handed down to a bunch of people. And I had an uncle that was a good cast net maker, and he taught me how to make a cast net in 1955, and I've been doing it off and on ever since. And the primary reason was to catch food to put on the table.
Pacetti mainly catches mullet, a fish that most people consider bait fish, but he says mullet is a delicacy.
I've caught flounder, red bass, trout, whiting, but primarily it's the mullet.
Regulations on fishing have taken a toll on this industry, says Charles Beckham.
The state wants us to fish a 1-inch bar, a 2-inch stretch net, 500 square feet, and if you fish over that, they're going to put you in jail. It's a bad law the state passed. You got to live with it.
Beckham fishes 2 days a week, and he smokes the mullet.
I smoke it about 8 hours with Baywood, and it turns golden brown. And the mullet dip, they have all kind of different seasoning in it. And
did you prepare it?
My wife, I do the mullet. I just smoke it. My wife does a mullet dip.
Beckham, who goes by the name of Mo, is known for his mullet in other parts of Florida.
I fished this past week. I had 225-pound mullet. I dress them and I take them to Trenton, Florida, and they have swamp cabbage and mullet every Friday.
Arnold Davies has been fishing since he was 13. He sees the fishing industry from Pensacola to Key West dwindling away. The culprit is overfishing. Again, Davies.
They allowed it to be overfished to the point that it looked like here in the middle of the summer that there wouldn't be any fish, although in the shallow water there was fish. We probably better start seeing what's being done with our fishery. It shouldn't be down like that and relegated to just a few fishermen.
Despite state regulations, these fishermen say they continue to fish. Again, Beckham.
I don't know nothing bad. I'm just going to keep fishing till I'm gone, and that's it. I'm 77 yesterday, and I've been fishing 60 years, and too old to do anything else now.
Bill Gresko doesn't intend to give up his craft either. He started sponge diving 23 years ago. It's a dangerous job, so safety is first, he says.
What happens is we walk the bottom. Okay, we're connected to the boat with 600 foot of air hose. And I have this buoy here that's also attached to me, and wherever I go, this buoy follows me, okay? And the boat follows that. So it's a dangerous job, but you do it right, it's a blast in the water. It's a lot of fun being in the water.
Today, there are only 4 boats left in Tarpon Springs that are used for sponge diving full-time. In the early 1940s, there were over 200 boats in the harbor. Again, Gresko.
But what happened was we've had red tides over the years that have killed the sponges in the beds. A lot of those guys left and either went bridge painting, you know, mostly it was Greek back then. And they would go bridge painting or they'd go to the steel mills and start doing that. And, you know, and only a few would come back.
The fishing industry seems to affect affiliated businesses. But Nicolas Toth says he keeps doing what he loves, handcrafting sponge diving helmets from copper and brass.
These helmets are something that my family has been doing for 100 years now. They take me about 250 hours of labor to create one of these diving helmets.
Fish, sponges, and diving helmets are part of Tarpon Springs' cultural heritage, says Toth.
My grandfather came over to this country in 1913 and was instrumental in keeping the sponge fleet going, not just through the creation of his beautiful diving helmets, but anything that wasn't wood on a boat, my grandfather made the parts for, installed the engines, and pretty much did everything necessary to keep the fleet going.
This year, the city's curator of arts and historical resources, Tina Bukavalas, keeps the fleet going for the festival.
The city of Tarpon Springs intends to continue this as an annual event, and I think that's an amazing thing, commitment for a city to have to local and regional culture.
For WMNF Evening News, I am Andrea Lipka, reporting from Tarpon Springs.